Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's meditation is our gospel lesson from Matthew 9. You may be seated. Have you ever met someone who's just plain angry with God? You know, many people struggle with how a good and loving God can allow such suffering and such death in our world. You know, when a loved one or even we ourselves are suffering terribly, we may find ourselves shaking our fists at God. Some may even choose to turn their backs on him, but then that just hurt him even more. All this suffering, all this disease and death we have to deal with in our world, it's not the Lord's fault. The Lord didn't bring this on us. We did. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not some one-for-one sort of thing, as if I did something wrong, and so I have to go suffer for it. It's not like that. I mean, at least not usually. But the scriptures tell us that suffering and disease in our world are a consequence of this. So why do we blame God for the mess that we human beings have brought upon ourselves? And yet God did something about it. When he chose to enter his creation in the form of a man, he took it upon himself to heal suffering and to heal disease where he found it, showing us it was never part of God's plan for there to be suffering and disease in this world. Now, even for those of us who are the Lord, we're not going to be completely free of the consequences of sin until God finishes his work and we pass from this life to the next. But still, Jesus took it upon himself to heal people of their sufferings. He even treated the root cause of those afflictions, sin. We shouldn't be surprised then by what happens in our gospel text. Jesus treated the underlying condition. Now, if you bring a Bible to church and you go to the paragraphs just before Matthew 9, you'll see that Jesus had been out doing miracles and healing people. He just healed a demon-possessed man across the lake. When he crossed back over to Capernaum as if lying in wait for him, some fellows brought their friend to Jesus. Clearly, they were hoping that he would heal their paralyzed friend. Well, Jesus could see their faith, but then he did something totally unexpected, something more. He didn't even bother with the paralysis. He turns to the paralyzed man as if he were son and says, "Have courage, son. Take heart." You wonder, take heart? You know, maybe the paralyzed guy wasn't as sure as his friends this would work, but Jesus reassures him. He tells him that his sins are forgiven. Ooh, wait a minute. Did he just forgive that man his sins? Did he just do that? I mean, isn't that what God does? You know, some of the Jewish scribes had been there watching all this, and when they heard him proclaim to the paralyzed man the forgiveness of his sins, they began to say to themselves, "He's blaspheming. He's claiming to do what only God can do." Of course, it goes a little deeper than that. If you were a scribe, you were part of the religious establishment, and you'd know that if people sinned, they were told by God's law to go to Jerusalem to offer sacrifice for their sins. See, for Jesus to be offering forgiveness himself, that would be rendering the temple obsolete. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And doesn't he do that at the temple? Jesus was challenging the very system the scribes were representing. So you can see why Jesus ended up crucified. But Jesus was no ordinary man. He knew exactly what they were thinking, and so he calls them out for it. Why are you thinking evil things in your hearts? There's evil in their hearts. God had lamented before the flood that every inclination of the human mind was nothing but evil all the time. And nor would the flood, for all the destruction that it wreaked, ultimately change this. God laments yet again after the flood that the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth. And the fact that Jesus publicly address what they were thinking should have already answered their question. "Search me, God," wrote the psalmist, "and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns." Or the words of the Lord to the prophet Jeremiah, "The heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, examine the mind. I test the heart to give to each according to his way, according to what his actions deserve." Well, on this day, the Lord did indeed search their hearts and weighed them. Hadn't Jesus calmed the winds and the waves and the stormy seas as only God could do? Hadn't he just exercised control even over the demons? They should know who this is. They should have been falling at his feet. Jesus looked right through the scribes and asked them, "Why are you thinking evil things in your hearts?" Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? Well, it is a good question. Which is easier? I mean, sure, from a theoretical standpoint, to forgive sins is much more difficult than performing a miracle. But what's really at stake here is a hostile, skeptical crowd. I mean, somebody can claim that sins are forgiven, but are they? How would you ever know? Who could prove it? But everyone would know when you'd seen a miracle. So Jesus offers his skeptics an argument. If he can do such a hard thing as heal a man who's paralyzed, how much more will he be able to forgive sins? Well, Jesus doesn't waste any time. But says, "You may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He told the paralytic, "Get up, take your stretcher, go home." So he got up and went home. The man was raised up even as Jesus himself will one day be raised up. And when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and gave glory to God who'd given such authority to men. Ironically, they glorified God when Jesus had said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, go home." Was it a mere man who had done this healing? Or was it God who raised him up? Before the plagues, God had announced to Pharaoh, "So you will know that there is no one like me on the whole earth." Jesus this day said, "So that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth." The powerful Son of Man the prophet Daniel had looked forward to had arrived. And he does what only God can do. Ironically, stunningly, the divine judgment against Israel's enemy, Pharaoh, has now become a judgment against Israel's own religious leaders. Jesus is exerting the power of God himself against those who are supposed to represent him. That's the underlying wickedness of our world. See, there are many people today who are uncomfortable with the idea that a man who walked on this earth could be God. Many would like to see Jesus as a mere teacher, a man who espoused eternal truths about God, who was in an incredibly intimate relationship with him, but who was not God himself. I mean, it's hard to fathom someone who looked so ordinary being so special. He was a man just like one of us. He ate and drank. He breathed. He bled. And he died. But all along the way, he gave glimpses of those who were watching of something more. He challenged people who were comfortable in their preconceptions. He shook their world and threatened to turn it upside down, and so they crucified him. Whether the evil thoughts and skepticism of the Jewish scribes, or the need for the paralytic himself to be forgiven, or the sins that we commit, when we think that no one is overhearing our wickedest thoughts. We learn today that sin is a far greater power even than all the suffering and the illness that we experience in our lives. We need the Lord's healing. We need the Lord's forgiveness. So what will you do with Jesus Christ? Are you a skeptic too? Will you call him a mere man? If you think he's just a great teacher, do you charge him with blasphemy in how you live your life, or maybe even in your innermost heart? Do you fail to take him and his claims seriously? You could be a religious leader. You could be a scribe. You could go to church your entire life and yet crucify him afresh in your thoughts or by how you live your life. Or do you recognize him as your Lord and Savior? As the one who comes with the very power of heaven itself. He comes an ordinary man, and yet the gifts he brings are by no means ordinary. He comes to a sin-filled, suffering world, and he invades this world with true healing. Or were you once like the man who was lying helpless on his bed until Jesus raised you up? He offered you forgiveness of sins and new life when he shed his blood. And the very one that lifted you up and gave you new life, will he not raise you up again at the last day? And does he not empower you to bring still others to him as well? Just like those friends of the paralytic. For there is no other name given us by which we may be saved. No one comes to the Father except through him. For Jesus is a name above all names. Let us now praise our God and glorify his name in all our thoughts, words, and deeds. No matter what our physical condition may be in this world, at the name of Jesus, the one who heals, let us all bow. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.